So Robert, thank you for joining us on the Pitch House podcast this morning.
It's my pleasure.
Welcome to London as well.
Glad to be here. I love it.
You've been, so with The Lighthouse, you've been touring this film around since its world premiere in Cannes in May, a few months ago now. What's this part of the process like for you when it's not quite on general release, but you've started to share the film with the world?
It's nice because we are showing the movie to people who are cinephiles. Frankly, the movie's gratuitous in every way possible. It's on the nose, not subtle. Well, I put it fine when I said it was gratuitous in every way possible. But I'm surprised it's not more divisive. But I think that's because currently the people whose eyes are being washed by the movie are cinephiles. It's nice to get a warm embrace from people who are into cinema.
Does it feel like you're among friends at the moment?
Yeah, exactly. So that's cool. The press tour, no matter what, is tiring. I mean, it's a great privilege and it's an important part of the whole thing, but it's tiring.
Yeah, I can imagine. But I think just as someone who works for a cinema chain, when I saw the movie, I got really excited because I could imagine what our audiences were going to think of it. And I think our audiences are going to be really pumped for that. It must be a kick sort of thinking of, I guess you get a little bit of a film festival with a Q&A, like hearing that audience response. How have you found the Q&As going and what people have been asking about the film?
The Q&As are always fun. There's always questions about seagulls and farting. Pretty much always a question about farting.
Even at a high-end film festival, you can't escape the farting.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the whole thing with the movie. I mean, I hope there's enough fart jokes to keep people engaged.
Do you remember how this sort of project came about in terms of, you know, your last film was a big success. It played really well in our cinemas as well. Were you straight into The Lighthouse or were there other potential things that could have happened after that?
Yeah, I developed three much larger scale things that and none of them were greenlit. And this Lighthouse movie is something that I began with my brother 2 years before The Witch was finished. In the third year of trying to get The Witch financed, it really did not move that third year. And I was quite depressed and I was looking for another option. And so I stole my brother's idea of a ghost story in a lighthouse and tried to come up with something that would be cheaper potentially than The Witch. I was very naive to think that you could make a lighthouse movie cheaply because you need to have a storm. And even if you have a real storm, like we did most of the time, you need a lot of support in that situation. In any case, when I was developing these larger studio things, which, by the way, were my own scripts still, like I wasn't, no offense, Rob, doing Batman. I think it's awesome that he's doing Batman.
He's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
it's
great. I truly mean no offense. but anyway, as I was navigating those projects, I thought it would be a wise idea to have something in my back pocket. So I called my brother Max and said, let's do this Lighthouse movie. And then strangely enough, the most uncommercial of the things I was working on is the thing that got made. And so here we are with a second New England folktale of sorts. And I'm in the midst of prepping something larger again, but who knows, maybe in 5 years I'll be back with the third installment of...
Have you got a third New England folktale in your back pocket somewhere?
Yeah.
On the back of a napkin.
Yeah.
It's funny sort of talking about the film's origins, because, you know, it might be quite a hard sell on paper maybe, and it sounds low spec, but you've got this amazing cast. You've got some of the biggest actors in the world to appear in this film. Did you always have people in mind, or did you wait for people to come to you?
I tend not to write for actors. If I'm lucky enough to continue to build a troupe of actors who are loyal and want to keep working with me, maybe I'll start deliberately writing with people in mind more often. My brother and I were just trying to find these two men on the page. But Willem, I was shocked to discover, like, wanted to work with me and called me for a meeting after seeing The Witch, which blew my mind. He's a huge hero of mine. He's only more of a hero after working with him. But and then Rob and I were also trying to look for something, and Rob turned down an offer because it was too conventional, and he was only looking for challenging and strange roles.
Oh, wow.
So given those factors, you know, who else is going to play these parts? Defoe's dialect is very well researched in every aspect. but like, let's be frank, to a contemporary ear, he's doing a pirate voice, right? and no one could pull that off, but Willem. Grandpa Dog's Bristolian accent in Peppa Pig is just not the same.
Bristol is, I'm from Bristol, it's my hometown.
Oh, yeah?
I wish the accent was stronger. I've lived in London for too long. No, I love that you know Peppa Pig. I mean, I think as well as like just the dialogue is incredible and the voices are really incredible, and it's just the look of them. Like, Willem looks exactly like how that character should.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first costume fitting when the costumes were clean and untailored and strange. But, we put the hat on, we stuck that stubby clay pipe in his mouth and his beard was well on its way. And Linda, the costume designer, and I could see Willem like looking in the mirror and just kind of realizing that he was becoming Thomas Wake.
The cast tend to have much input into the costumes, or is this very much exactly what you had planned on the page with your costume designer?
I'm pretty controlling. If somebody really knows what they're talking about, I want to hear it for sure. Mm. And if something is just really not working and I can see that it's an obstacle that will not be overcome, I'll change it. Mm. But it could be an obstacle that can be a helpful thing for the actor, but certainly I know what I want.
the thing that really got me, I love films that have, you know, a small cast and you know, you're in this confined space, so it's ticking a lot of boxes for me already, but you have these incredible dialogue scenes where it's quite a long conversation at times, which you really, really get into, and I sort of didn't want them to end.
When you're awesome.
When you're shooting scenes like that, do you tend to play like you were doing it as a play? Do you play the whole scene all the way through?
Well, yes and no. Jaron Blaschke, the cinematographer, and I work very carefully together on creating the cinematic language for the movies we do. I know there's these two features, but we've also done some short films, and we've talked a lot about movies that never happened. But in any case, so we don't shoot a lot of coverage, and we shoot single camera. And I mean, we don't shoot coverage. Like, point, we don't. So there are times where if the scene is like a couple oners, where we are going to stop the scene and when the shot ends. If it is more shot, reverse shot, then we tend to do the scene all the way through each side with little pickups of bits and bobs that we might want to tweak. Like, the first dialogue scene with them starts with a very long shot that's most of the scene, and so we went to that point, right?
I guess going back to the dialogue, you obviously have something very particular in mind. How did you research that? Because I guess this is based on language from before there are recordings.
Yeah, I mean, I did listen to some recordings from some very early recordings. There was, like, I can't remember his name, but a character that was from Vermont who told stories about this like small town in Vermont. And I listened to some of those, like they're from like around 1910 or something, but they weren't finally what was the most helpful. With the nautical language, there's tons of books, massive in size and page count that has different sailor vernacular that's easy to find. And of course, turning to Melville and Stevenson is very obvious. But what became the best source for us was there's a Maine-based author, Sarah Orne Jewett, who was writing during the period where our film takes place. And she would interview Mainers, farmers, fishermen, sea captains, and then she would write her stories in dialect.
Oh, wow.
And so her work became incredibly helpful, and my wife found someone who wrote their dissertation on Sarah Orne Jewett's dialect.
Oh, wow.
Work. And that became a huge gold mine, because a lot of times I'm having to read and read to like understand syntax and find the rules and take notes on what all those things are. But that had already been done for me.
That's incredible.
So that was very helpful. But then the sort of faux Shakespearean, Miltonian kind of stuff, because of The Witch, because of what I generally read and some scripts that I've written that never got made, I can do that. I can fall into that fairly easily now.
And is it easy to sort of get that, all of your research that you've done over the years, so, you know, across to your actors, so they can pick it up and deliver those performances?
You'd have to ask them. I shared a lot of research. There's some things that they don't need to know. Mm. But I'm happy to share as much as possible. And there are certain things that I want them to know. And both of them worked very hard on their dialects, and it wasn't easy for either of them. And I think Willem sometimes prefers a looser approach than I like, with the dialect stuff. I mean, I'm incredibly impressed. But we, in general, though, we were very dialed in together.
Did they both approach it in the same way in terms of, you know, maybe between takes, did they keep it up or did they want to have a break before going back into it?
The set wasn't like a real super jovial set. It was pretty serious. Mm. Sometimes you need a laugh, you know, but in general, pretty serious. Both of them have aspects of method actorisms, but neither of them is like a method actor. I think it's much easier for Willem to just completely switch off when you say cut. Rob marinates in it a little more, but in a way Willem was wake the whole time we were there, and he chose to live in a little fisherman's cottage incredibly close to the location and not in a hotel or a B&B.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Having someone who's like willing to do that for you.
Oh, I mean, they were both of them so committed. Mm. So committed. I mean, Willem, I swear, if you told him we needed him to cut his arm off, he'd complain a little bit and then say, all right, where's the saw? and Rob, there was, I don't know if it got around here, but there was a lot of news about Rob wanting to punch me in the face because I was spraying him with a hose for a scene. So basically, it was raining, but the rain wasn't reading in his close-up. Right. So we needed to augment the rain. Mm. I was not personally holding this hose. It's, you know, it was the practical effects guys. And there were a lot of takes because it was a hard shot to pull off. Mm. And I didn't know that he was so upset because he's very, very professional. Mm. And I also heard that in the wardrobe trailer, after that, he was willing to do another one if we needed. You know, that's how they were. They were incredible.
That's great. I think that's exactly what you need for a film like this. And I also think you see that on screen totally. Like, these performances are incredible.
Yeah.
When you were in the edit, was it like was that when you actually got to really appreciate what you had from that what sounds like quite a hard shoot?
Yeah, for sure. You always think to some degree that you don't have it. Even though I knew that the performances were great. Mm. One thing I was concerned that the movie was going to be too funny because they're both so funny. I don't think it's a surprise to hear that Willem Dafoe's funny, but Rob is an incredibly good physical comedian. Mm. And I think there's like a faint scent of Buster Keaton in the movie at times, but we have some alternate takes that are full on slapstick, like him doing splits and stuff.
Wow.
Like, no, for real. I mean, it was impressive. The edit was fun, and the edit in the color correct were the only non-miserable parts of making this movie. And it was fun. I was looking at the script this morning, in fact, because we had to clean it up to send it off to guilds and stuff to read for whatever. And there was more things that were changed in the edit than I remember. I keep this narrative that I imagined this movie intact 5 years ago or 7 years ago, wherever it was. But there was some good work that Louise did in really shaping the portion where they're really going mad into something else than was written.
Absolutely. I think it's that stuff is really tight. And the whole joy of the film is it sort of leaves you wanting more, even though it is quite an experience. You know,
I'm glad you feel that way.
I'm very happy if on the Blu-ray some of those deleted scenes make it on, or some of those alternate takes of Robert messing around. That would be cool.
Yeah. My pal Ari, I still haven't seen his extended.
We had it in London. We had that exclusively at our cinema because I think it's going to Apple. So we had it just for the one venue in the whole country for a couple of weeks. But yeah, it's really good.
That's awesome. No, I can't wait to see it. But I don't know. Like A24 asked me if I wanted to put deleted scenes, and I'm on the fence. I feel like if they're gonna change your understanding of the characters too much, I might not include them. Hmm. If they just
just are like extra texture reinforcing the final cut, I'll share them. you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think I can see that's totally, you know, because this is, it's tried and tested. You know exactly how people respond to the film. And
yeah.
And actually adding something in it could throw it off balance. Well, I look forward to seeing what you decide. Thanks so much for joining us today, Robert. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Enjoy the premiere tonight.
Thank you. Yeah.